I want to address, I believe, a very critical subject. And I think it's keeping many people from being successful in life and possessing all that God promises. And it is a subject called discouragement. You know, some people say, well, I don't need that message. But some do. And for those that say you don't need it, you will. Because discouragement comes to us all. How we deal with discouragement will determine our success spiritually and naturally. You know, we got to guard against discouragement. Sometimes people like to think that the Christian life should be nonstop euphoria with no troubles, no situations. Hey, but that's not what the Bible says. Come on now. The late Billy Graham said this, "The Christian life is not a constant high. I have my moments of deep discouragement. I have to go to God in prayer with tears in my eyes and say, oh God, help me." Anybody ever been there? Discouragement actually is what caused the Israelites not to go into Promised Land. They were discouraged by what the 10 spies said and brought back. They brought back the Bible, if you read it there in Numbers, it calls it an evil report. Anything that's not of faith is an evil report. You know, Moses tried to encourage them. In Deuteronomy 1:21, in the New Living, it said, "Look, he has placed the land in front of you. Go and occupy it as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged." Now, I didn't give them a list like I normally do, so they may be a little late getting it up, and I'll try to slow down for you guys, okay? Now, the Living Bible says, don't be afraid. Don't even doubt. The Message Bible says, don't be afraid. Don't lose heart. The Voice translation says, don't be afraid and don't be intimidated. But the report of the 10 spies, it was so discouraging that it turned the hearts of the people from believing what God said to believing the circumstances, to believing in the situation. And that generation of Israelites ended up not getting into the Promised Land because of discouragement. Their discouragement caused them to quit believing that their God could supply their need. Although they had seen him take care of them all of those years getting to the Promised Land, and now, discouragement caused them to turn the other way. You know, discouragement is baggage that you don't need to carry around. It'll tire you out physically. It'll drain you mentally and emotionally. Allowing discouragement to have its way will cause us not to be able to reach our destiny with God and receive the promises that belong to us. You know, God has better things for us. In Hebrews 6:9, it says in the Voice, "But listen, my friend, we don't mean to discourage you completely with such talk. We are convinced that you are made for better things, the things of salvation." Notice that this scripture says that we are made for better things, better than we've had in the past, better than we had yesterday. Notice God is faithful to reward those that believe him and follow after him. You know, just like the song says, when we can't see it, he's moving. Even though we can't see anything at the moment, we can be confident that God is moving in our behalf. We may see discouragement, but God is moving. So don't get discouragement. We may have disappointment, but we don't have to have discouragement. A discouragement person will not try to do anything. And you know what? They're not a major threat to Satan. Anytime you start feeling discouragement, know the enemy is working on you. Satan uses things around us to discourage us. He does not want us to receive all the promises of God, and he doesn't want us telling other people about it. If you're walking around with a long face and you're so discouraged, you're about to step on your bottom lip. Satan, he wants you that way because there ain't nobody want to be that way. And if you're saying, well, I'm a Christian, they say, hey, man, I don't want none of that. Come on now. Let's be honest. You see, Satan uses things that people say to discourage us, to undermine our faith. You know, anytime you're around and hearing a lot of doubt and unbelief, it wears on your faith. Anytime that anybody been speaking you've been hearing a bunch of unbelief, you better go immediately and start reading faith scriptures. Build your faith back up. Satan uses circumstances to bring discouragement. You know, the hardships of the moment. We all deal with hardships. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're me. I don't care if you're the Pastor Bill or Pastor Craig or Pastor Tad or Pastor Denise. We all have to deal. Anybody, if you're breathing God's air, then you're going to find that the enemy is going to bring discouragement to you. Because if he can get you discouraged, he can stop you from receiving the benefits that belong to you, according to God's word. You know, sometimes we come up against a task that seems overwhelming, and it will cause us to begin to be discouraged. No task is overwhelming if you remember that I can do all things through Christ. It may look that way. It may feel that way. It may seem that way, but it's not. If you'll look to the Word of God and what the Word has to say. But you see, the enemy wants to use that to discourage you, to get you away from the Word. You know, when you're tired, or maybe have had to work more than normally, that's often when the enemy comes with discouragement, because you're not mentally and physically ready. And therefore, you give in to it, you lose your positive mindset, and give in to the discouragement of the moment. You know, when that happens, you don't have the perseverance to continue. You know, some people think that we ministers never are that way. There have been many times that after I preached on a Sunday morning and I knew I had to preach that night, I didn't want to. The enemy started telling me how tired I was and so forth and so on. That's when you have to say, hey, wait a minute. Come on. Don't look at me like that. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. You know, like I'll preach Sunday morning and I come off the stage and the enemy say, man, you feel a little tired, don't you? You got to preach again Wednesday night. And then when I'm teaching in school, you got to teach in the school. You got 2 hours to teach on Monday. Man, why don't you just have somebody else teach for you? Come on now. I'm talking about, that's what the enemy does. If he does that to me, I know he's doing it to you. You worked hard all week. And he said, oh, you know, if I was you, I don't think I'd go to church Sunday. Or like tonight, you come in from your work, your job. Man, it's been a tough day. You know, I think I'll just stay home tonight. That's what the enemy wants you to do. Because the more he gets you staying home, the easier it is to not come back to church. And for you that are watching, I know that some of you are in that. Hey, don't let the enemy keep you there. And it's fine to stay if you need to. But let me tell you what, don't let the enemy keep you there until you don't come back to church. Because the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of yourself together. We draw strength from one another when we come together and we don't even realize it. Come on. You know, your present conditions may be disappointing, but they don't have to bring discouragement. Disappointment reflects the circumstances, but discouragement is a state of mind or attitude. And I think somebody preached about attitude Sunday, I believe. Too often we allow ourselves to become discouraged because we got disappointed. Charles Stanley said this, disappointment is inevitable. But to become discouraged, there is a choice I make. God would never discourage me. He would always point me to himself and trust him. Therefore, my discouragement is from Satan. I like it. He says, disappointment is inevitable, but to become discouraged is a choice. I don't have to choose to be discouraged. You know, you don't have to yield to Satan's trap of discouragement. If you've already yielded to discouragement, you can become free. You know, hey, as I've gone through life and ministry, I've had many, many opportunities to be discouraged by all kinds of stuff. By what people said, by what people did to me. Let me ask you a question. I'm, what, back 1970, what was it, 73, 74? I had to go do a meeting for Dad up in Greensboro, Pennsylvania. 78. Yeah. Now, my dad, Kenneth E. Hagin, was pretty well known. He was sort of... he was up here, you know what I mean? Now, I believe it was my grandmother was having a problem and he couldn't go, and so he sent me. Do you know what it's like to step in front of a congregation that's expecting Kenneth E. Hagin and they got Kenneth W. Hagin? You can only imagine. I was there. You could feel it. When you stepped up there, you could feel everybody. But you just have to go on anyway. For a whole week, I think it was. I did win some of them over. Some of them I never did. But they come every night and sat there right in, some of them right in front of me. I'm serious as I can be. You know, the first time he ever announced that I was going to speak at an afternoon service at camp meeting, and we had a full house that morning, that afternoon, we had about a quarter of the number of people that we normally had in the afternoon. But I didn't let it bother me. I mean, the devil tried to get me to let it bother me. But I just went on up there and did my deal, did my thing, did what I do. You know, that you talk about you. I have had all kinds of opportunities to quit, to get discouraged. You know, that is the way Satan attempts to draw you away from the plan of God that he has for you. You know, temptation to be discouraged will come to everybody. But you have to learn to go past the discouragement and keep going with God. Everybody will face discouragement, but the Word will give you the encouragement to go on. That's why I've really been harping on that. And you can tell you if you go back and listen, the word. In the day and age we're living, it is the Word of God that's going to help us to maintain, help us to win, help us to make it through. Everybody has to deal with discouragement. Now, the enemy will try to tell you that you're the only one ever faced anything like this. That's not so. If you go read over there, I'm going to paraphrase First Peter told his congregants. He said, hey, you're not the only one. There have been a whole bunch of other people face the same thing you face it. Now, I'm paraphrasing it in my way I'm saying it, but it's the truth. Everybody, you will never, ever face anything that ever somebody else hadn't faced. You know, when we realize that somebody else has gone through it, it helps us to believe that it's possible that we'll make it too. That's why it's good to talk to other people. When you talk to other people, tell them how God brought you through an experience. It will help them. It will strengthen them. Some people don't, that's private. I want to keep it private. Hey, sometimes if you would let somebody, your friend that's talking to you, and you can tell that they're down, and if you would let them know how you came through a situation, it would encourage them to continue to believe God and come through the situation. But sometimes people, they're afraid to let somebody know that they ever had a bad moment. Hey, it's not a mark. Somebody said, well, it's a mark against my faith. No, it's not. The victory is a mark of your faith. You're going to face it. Hey, everybody does. Everybody does. David faced it. If a guy ever faced a lot of discouragement, it was David. And he said in Psalms 42:5. I'm going to read from the New Living, Psalms 42:5, from the New Living translation. I'm giving them a chance to get it up there. He said, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you even from distant Mount Hermon, and the source of the Jordan from the land of Mount Mizar. Here, David, man, look at all he had, the discouragement. His brothers made fun of him. Sold him into, made fun of him. And he killed Goliath. Saul repeatedly tried to kill him. He was chased all over the country, you might say, by Saul. Members of his own family, when he became king, members of his own family tried to take the kingdom away from him. I think he had every reason to get discouraged. Him and his men went out and they come back to Ziklag, and the enemy had come in and they had burned the town and ransacked everything, and they had taken off the children and their wives. And David's men, they wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. But it says David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's what you have to do whenever disappointment and discouragement come in. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord. They wasn't nobody there encouraging him. They all tell him they're going to kill him. Hello, come on. Elijah, he had mighty miracles and victories in his life. And after one of the greatest victories he ever had, he called a fire down, he called, prayed, and it rained. He outran the king's chariot across the Jezreel Valley. Of course, the king had a couple old dilapidated mules pulling his chariot, you know. No, he had the best horse flesh that they had pulling his chariot. And if you read the scripture, the king left quite a while before Elijah did. So, man, he was really burning it up running. I wish, hey, man, if I could have run like that, I could have been a champion. You know, I could have got gold medals, you know. And now he is discouraged. 1 Kings 19 said, New Living. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. No, he didn't want to die. He's just like you. He's having a pity party. He's discouraged. Because Jezebel already told him, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to have your head off of your body. If he wanted to die, all he got to do is stay right where he was, and he'd already been dead. Come on now. He prayed, I might die. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. One translation going, and it says, I'm the only one left. There's not anybody else left. Oh, poor old me. Then he went to sleep. And the Lord came to him and woke him up and told him, get up. I have a whole bunch more besides you. Go down here to this place and I'll feed you. And then he told him to go to another place and he'd take care of him. Then he told him to go somewhere else. And the fire came and the wind came and it said the Lord wasn't in it. See, that's what happens. A lot of people they get excited and start shouting and sometimes it ain't the Lord. You see, he had discouragement. And God had to shake his cage. Said, you're not the only one. I forgot how many thousands he said he still had serving the Lord. But he's out there having a pity party. What? 7,000. He had 7,000. Oh, I'm the only one, Lord. Take my life. Of course, none of you ever felt like that. None of you ever been to that point. But he got there. I've been there. I just want to go and leave. Just take off and go. Just get in the car and go. Of course, none of you ever felt that way. But see, that's discouragement. And we have to take the word of God and fight against that. The Apostle Paul. You think he didn't have an opportunity to be discouraged? In the New Living Translation in 2 Corinthians 7:6, the New Living Translation, but God who encourages those who are discouraged encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. He said, but God who encourages those who are discouraged encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. Evidently, Paul's whole entourage was discouraged. Because he didn't say me, he said us. So that was his whole crowd that was traveling with him. You realize he had people traveling with him. All you got to do is read the scripture and find that out. Here, he had need of hearing encouraging words from Titus. You know, sometimes positive and encouraging words that you hear from somebody will make all the difference. Just to tell somebody, you can make it. You got this. Will be an encouragement to them and you don't even know, realize it, how encouraging it is. You know, that's why it's important to come to church where there's Bible believing people that will be there to encourage you, that will speak words to you of encouragement and they don't even know you need it. How many of you have ever come to church and somebody said something to you that encouraged you and they didn't know anything about it? See, that's why it's important for us to come together. You know, let's look at four things that David used to get free from the grip of discouragement. In Psalms 42:11, the New Living Translation, Psalms 42:11, it's the same thing we read a while ago. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. Here we see he realized that discouragement did not have to become permanent. He said, I will put my hope in God and I will praise him and get victory over this discouragement. I'm paraphrasing here. See, Satan will lie to you and say, you can't be free. He'll tell you to give up. He'll tell you to quit. Decide that discouragement will not be your lifestyle. Discouragement here, David's calling discouragement temporary. See, he said, why am I discouraged? Why am I my heart so? I'll put my hope in God. I'll praise him again, my Savior, my God. He starts out talking about his discouragement, ends up talking about how he's going to get over it. Then in Psalms 43:4-5 in the New Living, David drew near to God and was refreshed. Receive fresh hope, you could say. Therefore, I'll go to the altar of God, the source of all my joy. I will praise you with my harp. He played the harp. Oh God, my God, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put my hope in God. I'll praise him again, my Savior, my God. He said he's going to put his hope in God. I'm sure David didn't always feel like drawing near God. You don't either, and I don't either, but we need to. Don't wait for God to draw near to you. You draw near to him. Now get this. When you draw near to God, he looks bigger and your situation looks smaller. A little boy asked his father, how big is God? There's an airplane flying over up in high in the sky. And his father pointed up and said, at the, you know, jet plane, he said, how big is that plane? The son said, doesn't look very big. Then the father took him to the airport. And there was a huge jet sitting on the runway. And he asked, how big is that airplane? The little boy said, with his eyes big, he said, it's very big. Then the father told the little boy, son, how big God is to you depends on how far or how near you are to him. Need to get that one. The closer you are to God, the easier it is to walk in victory and over discouragement. David declared the Lord was his help. 1 Chronicles 28:20. And I got about 5 minutes. 1 Chronicles 28:20 in the NLT. David continued, be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord my God is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. Here, David is telling Solomon, that's about to build the temple, he's telling him that God is there to help him. God is his help. He's telling him, God has been my help. Now I'm telling you, no matter how big the task is, we can be confident that God is there with us to help us. Too many people, they want God to do it. Hey, no, God will work with you to accomplish things. And then David consistently confessed hope in God and praised him. Psalm 42:4-5. There I will go to the altar of God, the source of all of my joy. I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. When I'm discouraged, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him, my Savior, my God. Here David said that he would continually praise God. He would continually realize that his success came from God. Praising God is both an antidote that will deter discouragement, and it is also the remedy to get rid of discouragement. Discouragement flees when it hears the voice of praise. So lift your voice in praise. I'm not a very good singer, but I'm going along in my car and I'm listening either to my Bluetooth through my car or listening to in Latin. I've got where I'm listening more to my Bluetooth now that it hooks up there in my car. And I start singing right along with them, praising the Lord. You need to learn to sing praises. I don't care how good you can sing. Get off by yourself. And sing loud enough you can hear your own voice. My dad used to tell people, praise God loud enough that you can hear your own voice. You know, some people say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now praise the Lord. When you do it that way, the devil knows you know what you're doing. The bottom line, don't give up just because you get discouraged. Anybody ever heard of a book, The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale? Back in the day, years and years ago, he was the pastor of Marble Collegiate Church in New York City. Do you know that so many publishers rejected his manuscript for that book that he threw it in the wastebasket? But his wife, Ruth, fished it out and said, no, somebody will publish it. And in 1952, it was published, and it sold more than 20 million copies in 42 languages. He got so discouraged, he threw it in the wastebasket. But his wife said, no, we're not going to let discouragement. You're not going to let discouragement. Thank God for a good wife. I thank God for mine. If I didn't have her, I wouldn't be up here. I guarantee you that right now. Don't ever become discouraged and quit. God is your strength. God is your help. So lift your voice and praise Him. Lift your voice and know that He is your hope and He's your strength and He's your help. I am always there. No matter whether you feel me or not, I am there. So lift your voice and praise me, and you will begin to feel me, because I am moved only by your praise, by your prayers, by your belief. So lift your voice and praise me, and watch discouragement flee. Lift your voice and praise me, and then you can shout again with glee and rejoice and know that everything is going to be okay. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Stand up. Hallelujah. And then said, lift your voice and sing. Let's lift our voice and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got something we can praise the Lord with?
Hallelujah. I will praise thee, oh Lord. I will praise thee, oh Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, I make a choice. I will praise thee, oh Lord. Come on, let's sing.
Just praise Him all the time, wherever you're at. Open your mouth and praise Him. Sing praises. You may not be able to sing like me, but I can't sing. But that's what I'm saying. I'm not a good singer. In fact, my pitch, you know, in the keys you got the keys and that's the key. Well, I'm in between, right here in those cracks. That's where I sing. Hallelujah.